Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gorgeous George and Coz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Sunday night for your Monday morning delivery. We're excited to talk to you for the next hour or so as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight, man. We got to unpack this crazy UFC 294 card that took place this past weekend in Abu Dhabi. And, of course, we had a title fight, Islam Makhachev versus Alex Volkanovski. We had a great co-main event with Khamzat Chimaev and Kamaru Usman. So we'll go over those fights, everything below it, the bonuses, the results, what's next for each fighter, the controversies, all of it, boy. Latest news, of course, there's some of that out there as well. And yeah, we'll be right back to start the show. Goes, how do we approach this? Part of me wants to play the I told you so card. The other part of me just wants to leave it alone, be a professional, give the results as is. But, you know, this main event wasn't as good as the first time they danced out in Perth, Australia. I mean, that one was a classic. This one had a quick finish. Congratulations to Islam Makhachev. He defends his UFC lightweight title against Alexander Volkanovski. First round stoppage, kick to the head, started it all off. I mean, really, really wobbled him. And then some hammer fists ended his night. And that's it. Islam Makhachev retains.
I was kind of laughing during the intro because I was thinking, can you imagine if somebody took off on a vacation? And you know how they like to disconnect and then just got home tonight or something, decided to turn on the, how different things are from what this card was supposed to be. And at the end of the day, I think it always works out for the UFC because, I mean, it was entertaining. I think the co-main really carried everything because there were quick stoppages, but it's just so weird that we're even here. But you're right. Like, how do you look at it? I think there does need to be maybe a little bit of I told you so in the sense that this was just not a good I understand Alexander Volkanovski and why he does the things he does, but I just hope that other people can see this and maybe learn from it. Because at the end of the day, he got KO'd. He got KO'd pretty bad. And that's something that doesn't leave you. It's going to stay with you the rest of your career. You're going to feel the effects of that. You're going to slow down. That timing that you're known for being impeccable with, it's just going to slow down a little bit. You know, these are the effects of a KO. And was it worth it? You know, he kind of said that money's not really the big deal here. So I'm going to say, no, it wasn't worth it. And even on Islam Makhachev's plate, I think you could throw something on there and say, maybe you should have said something like, this doesn't do anything for me anymore at this point. You know, because now we're going to sit here and we're going to wonder still what we have with this guy. Got two title defenses. They're both over featherweight.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go one by one. As far as Makhachev goes, he did what you're supposed to do to a guy on 12 days notice. He scalped him. He looked great, by the way. I mean, he weighed in and looked muscular, fit, like he just had the most amazing camp, man. Something about his look and Volk, who was a little soft, you know, and you could just tell, like, oh God, what's about to happen? The history of MMA shows us that stuff can go down. And I guess the ultimate is Bisping on 3 weeks taking out Rockhold completely changed his life. I'm not sure if he goes down as a Hall of Famer or anything like that. Obviously, he put the UK on the map. Respect to him for that. Had a great career, great wins. But had he not won the title, I don't know. You know, he kind of took another step towards immortality. I wouldn't put him with the all-time greats, but you got to show the guy some respect, because on his fight night, his title fight night, he came through. All right. So because of fights like that and other ones where fighters stepped up on late notice, you know, we have to entertain this what if, and what if he can, or what if she can, and blah, 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 right? However, damn, man, then you see something like this, and you just throw up your hands, and you're like, well, what the fuck did you guys think was going to happen? You know, like, I don't know. I was kind of pissed off a little bit. Like, again, Makhachev did what he had to do. But poor Makhachev, in a way, he fought someone on late notice. It wasn't Gamrot. He doesn't really – I guess he benefits from the pay-per-views. What, ticket sales? No, not really. He's not worried about whether – Abu Dhabi outfit that's part of the UFC is happy about the card that's on paper or not. I mean, he's just there to do his job, and that's defend. But then you hear it come out of Volkanovski's mouth. I hadn't really been training. I rolled the dice, but he was emotional, kind of like, ah, what was I thinking, you know? He said it wasn't about the money. I believe him. And then, you know, he still wants to fight Topuria, which is dope, but yeah, he left a piece of Volk on that mat in Abu Dhabi. You know, will he be the same? I don't know. Maybe he's just so far ahead of the featherweights that it doesn't matter and he smashes them all. Who knows, right? But still, I don't know, man. I'm the 2020 guy, the hindsight guy, the Sunday night quarterback, Monday morning quarterback, whatever. And, you know, on the heels of some of the other stuff that happened, it was just kind of a little bit of a disappointment. And then on the Volkanovski side, I guess I kind of covered him a little bit. Just, he can go back to featherweight. He can go back to being king, but he's not going to get a clean second chance at Makhachev, because this was it, and it certainly wasn't proper in any way, like in terms of a training camp and preparations and things like that. So he's just out of the loop. His champ status is out of the loop until Makhachev loses. And then even then, I don't know if they'll give him another crack, because that's kind of two chances already of being lightweight champion.
Yeah, the only winner in all of this, really, really, the truly true winner is the UFC. You know, they're a machine. They got bailed out of a really sticky situation and arguably put on an even better card. Live for today. Deal with it later. And the reason they can deal with it later is because there is a new crop of fighters always waiting to capitalize on opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Alexander Volkanovski, he's left probably a little bit banged up, a little maybe slower, maybe his ego is damaged. Islam Makhachev has got to explain to everybody why his two title defenses have been against the featherweight. Mm-hmm. And so when people ask him, well, why do you keep referring to yourself as one of the great lightweights when you really haven't even defended your belt against the lightweight, which is odd. He's got to hear that too. But the UFC keeps chugging along. And I don't even hate them for it, George. I honestly don't. I'm to the point where now I want to grab the fighters and go, do you guys need to see, you need to open your eyes and see what's actually happening. You know, because you can tell your sad story, Alexander Volkanovski, and trust me, you're one of my favorite fighters of all time. You can tell that story, and they are not going to care, because they already got what they needed from you, you know? And if you keep giving it to them, they'll keep taking it from you. That's their job. That's their business. You're going to make some money along the way, but they're going to take your soul too, you know? And that part kind of sucks, but that's just the weird thing that we're left with. Like, even, I'm sure we're going to get to that next, but even when you look at the middleweight picture, even that doesn't make sense now, but it's the UFC that's always going to come out winning in this, and the fans.
Yeah. And you know, it was a simple formula. he was at home with enough notice and still came up short against Makachev. Who the hell thought that him on short notice, an away game, was going to be, you know, what he needed to tweak from the first fight? Hell no. And then we find out that there may have been a surgery recently, a recent vacation with the family. He just wasn't training as much, which is different from what he was telling us pre-fight. And I get it, folks. I get it. I don't expect him to lie to us and confess all that pre-fight and make it worse, right? I understand that. But we kind of have an idea of what preparation may be like. I mean, we've been around the sport for a long time. We've been around a lot of these fighters for a long time. 10 days just isn't ideal. Once again, in the history books, has it worked out? Of course, Strickland didn't have 2 months, but A, he's always in the gym, and B, it wasn't 10, 12 days. I mean, I think he was more or at least outside of a month or 6 weeks or whatever, you know, but either way, man, you know, like I can't imagine Volkanovski had maybe 2 hard workouts and then that was it. And then you're throwing him against a beast. And by the way, that beast, I want to include him in the BJ Penn, Frankie Edgar, Benson Henderson, you know, Khabib, obviously, talk. I want to say, geez, who's on the Mount Rushmore lightweights? Mm-hmm. But I can't. To get to the title, to get to Oliveira, he fought Bobby Green and Dan Hooker. Obviously, no disrespect to those guys. Solid lightweights, but neither one of them top 5. I would even venture they weren't top 10. But because he had racked up so many other bodies, it was just his time. He goes in there and he beats Oliveira. Hats off. Tough champ. You know, he won that fight. But now since then, 2 title defenses against a featherweight. I mean, literally, I can't give him his flowers yet. I can't say, yup, you're Khabib 2.0 or anything like that. I've yet to see it. I've yet to see him fight the top 5 guys. One of them that would have been nice was Dariush. He's out of the way. Another one that would be nice is Gaethje, obviously. Poirier would have been nice, but he's out of the way, courtesy of Gaethje. So, you know, who else is going to be next for him? I don't know. Gamrot, I think, was kind of tiptoeing on the outside of 5, and that's why they put him in that sub, you know, position. But they said, nah, we need to sell tickets. We need to sell pay-per-views. Gamrot doesn't work it out. That's your problem, UFC. You know, somehow you and Gamrot haven't elevated this kid's status to the point. You think enough of him to be that last-minute bailout, but you don't think enough of him to be a title challenger.
Dude.
Well, I'm sorry. You need to have a few of those guys in the chamber. You can't just have one title challenger and then there's this fall from grace. I mean, you know, but
who's that on? Who is that on, though? Like I was talking about earlier, George, we've all been in somewhat similar positions. You telling me, okay, I'm a 45-year-old man. You don't think that on a night when I want to go out, that there weren't 2 numbers that I called, one that I was hoping maybe would pick up, and then one that I thought, if this one don't pick up, I'm pretty sure this girl will pick up. That's what happened. You got play happening until UFC fighters do something about it, you know? And I can't blame the UFC for playing that game. I used to play that game. It's up to the girl to go, wait a minute, you only call me when you need me, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what that's how that situation changes, and it just isn't changing. So I don't know, man. And to further that point, George, another really annoying thing about this card, and which is crazy because I had a good time watching it. Okay. You guys have to remember that we look at all this through sort of different eyes. But another thing that drives me crazy is if you would have gave me a full camp Volkanovski, there's a good chance I would have actually picked him in this fight. I thought he did so well enough in the first one that he could have made adjustments, and I might have actually picked him in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it might have even been a better fight. But hey, look, we got what we got, and leading into it, I guess we were all entertained. But when it happened, I think we all just kind of went, "Oh yeah,
yeah." Because I lost you on video. Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, all right. So listen. I want to ask you this question, and it might sound corny, but the minute that guy's shin hit Volk's head, was part of you like livid? Like, fuck, like we just fucked up a great fighter. I mean, yeah, okay, he's going for greatness, But you didn't let him prepare for that moment of going for greatness. And it was his words, man. These were Volkanovski's words. You can't fight Islam Makhachev on a short camp. And so the minute this guy went out, the minute that shin connected and I saw him all screwed up, trying to get his balance, his eyes are rolling back. Oh, man, part of me was just crushed. Like, that guy just might not be the same because of that brutal KO. You know, part of me was really, really just mad for that one moment. Mad, sad, I don't know. But those were his words, folks. You can't fight Islam Makhachev on late notice.
Yeah. Livid. Yeah, there was a little piece of me that was like that, because that was the biggest flag that I was flying before the fight even took place. You know, is I came around on it. I was excited to see this rematch eventually and under the right conditions. And now it's gone. And the UFC is going to find another way to make us happy down the road with a new fight that we're all jonesing for. But we could have had this one. We could have had it in better conditions and maybe really figured out who the better guy is.
Yeah. In the co-main event, you had an example of where it did pay off for the UFC. So look, folks, we're always fair. All right. We're going to separate the two. Khamzat Chimaev, who's fought at welter and middleweight, hasn't fought in over a year. He's supposed to be the next big guy at middleweight. They're kind of fast-tracking him to the title. Dana White said the winner of this will probably fight for the title. He did leave himself an out, which I can appreciate. He said, barring injury or other stuff, I think he said. All right, cool. Because remember, there's Cannonier, who was a sub for Strickland and not Adesanya, and who just beat Vettori in a fight where Dana White said the winner of this could be in a good spot to win the title or fight for a title again. And remember, Izzy's given Vettori two shots, Whitaker two shots. So a lot of people have been hating on Cannonier, but man, he showed some great cardio and he took out a top guy in Vettori. All right, that's one. And then obviously DDP, 5 in a row, 6 in a row, whatever he's at. He didn't have a major injury. He just had one that he couldn't turn it around in 2 months. So you got proper guys there. So for them to say this, the winner of this one, that rubbed me the wrong way. Okay, now, next thing you know, Kamaru Usman goes out there and he didn't look great, but he was gutsy. For that, I want to take my fucking hat off and salute him for that, because he took Chimaev's best shot in that first round. 10-8s across the board. That's a whole other discussion. But he took that and then collected himself in round two like a champion should. A lot of other guys would have folded their tent and said, I'm done. But instead, he comes back, wins round two. And then he comes back and, you know, arguably wins round three. And so, you know, the 10-8 was fair. So I thought a draw, which basically would maybe mean that the universe is correct in saying, since neither guy won, hats off to both guys, great fight. But let's get back to Cannonier and DDP versus Strickland, one of those two, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, it looked like they sided with Chimaev in round three, which I disagree with. 229-27s for him. He's your winner, but that's not a title challenger goes. And you know, I'm not trying to disrespect that fool either, because I think he's a pretty awesome fighter. I see the way fans connect with him. That look he gave goes Kamaru Usman when he was kind of down on the ground before the fight. Oh man, that's gold right there. That was worth $1 million or more. So I love what he presents, right? And by the way, I also love this post fight speech about peace and kids. You know, it breaks your heart, obviously, seeing innocent kids' lives. But anyway, unpack this fight. What did you think of the fight, the result, your score, a 10-8, all that? Tell me.
Well, going into the fight, it was another one of those situations where if you're Khamzat, you have to finish this guy. It's a big name. But you have a duty as being the middleweight guy that was preparing for a middleweight fight that is being talked about being close to a title shot before all this madness happened. He just needed probably a couple wins to get him there. Dana White gave him a big favor and basically telling him, if you win, you're probably going to be that guy. He needed to mop the floor with Kamaru Usman. That did not happen. So first and foremost, what I want to talk about is Kamaru Usman and the guts that he showed out there. And the reason I say the guts is because there were plenty of situations where he probably could have just gave up, could have tapped, you know. Hamzat had his neck, and he probably could have just said, hey, it wasn't my night. I'm done. Not to mention, going into this, we all thought he might even be hurt, right? Hey, look at Kamaru. He gutted through this. He still gave us that fight. He went out there. Things didn't go his way, but whatever. He collects probably a giant paycheck for bailing out the company. Nobody would have really said too much, but he didn't, man. He hung in there in some of the most horrible situations with one of the last guys on earth I would want to be putting me in that situation, and Khamzat Chimaev. And he even came back and showed his experience, because you could tell he was probably holding back just a little bit just to make sure that he could get to that last round and not just be dog tired. And he turned it on early in that third round, and he was even kind of hinting that he could maybe even finish the fight himself. It was a great performance for Kamaru Usman. Unfortunately, round one didn't go his way. I don't hate a 10-8. Personally, I didn't give it, but I have no problem with anybody that did. It was just really close. I actually scored this fight a draw. I thought Kamaru came back and won the next two rounds. Mm-hmm. But that's Kamaru. On Hamzat's side, it's really, really frustrating because this guy has so much talent, but it doesn't last an entire fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you the definition of a real title contender is somebody who goes through the ranks, gets to a title shot. That's not what he did. You know, Dana White's basically giving him a gift, and that performance did not covet that gift. You know, he did not look, I mean, he looked great in round one, but rounds two and three, he faded. And on top of fading, he faded against the welterweight. It's just not a good look. And the guy that's waiting for him at the top is known for his cardio, known right. for pacing himself. These are not things that make you think going in that this is a good recipe for Khamzat. I think Khamzat just got to figure that out. He's got to figure out why it is that he's having these issues. Because, A, fighters that are in front of him are definitely afraid of him. I could promise you that. They're scared. B, he just got this pace, and he hits so hard. He's got a submission game. He's got a wrestling game. He's basically got it all. He just doesn't seem to put it all together for one entire fight, and he's got to figure that out. So, honestly, I'm probably going to side with Conor McGregor here for once. I thought he hit the nail on the head. Let's just watch him fight Costa again and let the other guys deal with the top. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and one thing I forgot to mention about Cannonier, he's got a win over Strickland. So he's got a few things going in his back pocket. DDP has that streak where he hasn't lost in the UFC. And Cannonier, he has fought for a title. So, you know, he kind of might have to be behind DDP. And I think he would have understood that if DDP could have gone, it would have been DDP challenging Israel Adesanya and Cannonier being the backup or Strickland being the backup. I'm pretty sure Cannonier was okay with that. I think the whole world understands DDP earned his spot. But when he couldn't go and Cannonier went and became the sub, he's got a card to play, the same one that Colby's playing. Hey, that guy went to London and he's fighting next, and Dana pushed him in that regard. Why am I not getting that love? Brandon Royval was a backup. He's fighting Knox next. Why am I not getting that love? So if DDP somehow can go, I think Cannonier's the guy. If DDP can go, then Cannonier's not the guy. And I guess we've already found out Cannonier's got a fight coming up. I think it's, who is it, Dolice? Or I can't remember, but
yeah. Roman Dolice fights, is it Cannonier?
Yeah, I think it's Cannonier. So yeah, it's Cannonier. Big fight coming up here at a UFC fight night on the 12th, on the 2nd. So it's probably going to be Dricus versus Strickland. And guess what? We're doing Khamzat a favor. Now, I know he's probably thinking, you know, we're weasels or whatever, because he kind of can be, I don't know, not hateful, but just dismissive and shit. But, bro, once Khamzat couldn't hit those shots, and I'm not saying Strickland has a beautiful sprawl like Kamaru did, because Kamaru had some great takedown defense. There was times where he was attacking the hands. There was times he was using underhooks. There was times he was sprawling. And then there was times where he was just bucking them off and then just getting out of the way. And you could see Khamzat, like, not wilting, not quitting, not, nah, he's tough. But that obviously, you know, was just, you were stopping him from displaying the dominance that he did in round one. And then guess what? Kamaru would then lay a nice 1-2 or just stick a jab. And Khamzat, between being tired, I'm not going to question his chin, no. But between being tired and being hittable, he just, like I say, it's like you're putting kryptonite around Superman. You know, you're weakening him. He's just showing that he bleeds like the rest of us and he's mortal or whatever. So like you said, he's got to address that cardio, because this was just a 3-round fight. So was the Burns fight. He's probably not ready for a title fight. Now, see, in his mind, he's thinking, I can take down Strickland. He doesn't have the takedown defense of Kamaru Usman, and I'll finish him first round. And guess what? I think he possibly could if he could get Strickland in the same position he got Usman. But if he can't, then, you know, he's in a lot of trouble. But I just don't think he earned it.
Yeah. It's such a weird situation. But I think it's one of those where it's going to be a hard sell. I really think. And at the end of the day, I don't think that it's a bad thing for Chimaev to get one more fight, especially if it's
I know.
Like, I really think, I don't think it could be a bad thing. I think he needs it. He's really, really got to figure this out.
Yeah. Fight Paulo Costa. Let Dolidze fight Cannonier. Whoever impresses, you're probably next for the winner of Strickland versus DDP. I think Strickland versus DDP would be a nice fight. Israel Adesanya has already said, hey, I'm going to take a little bit of time off. I'm not sure what Whitaker does, but Whitaker just lost to Strickland. And then finally, Alex Pereira just is showing no interest. I mean, he's got his dance card full because he's got Jiří Procházka. Should he lose, maybe he looks down and goes, oh, I kind of knocked the champ out, you know, like about a year ago. I might just go back on a diet. I don't know, but we'll see how everything plays out. I think we're all in agreement. So, even though Khamzat won, which again I disagree with, he did not become a title challenger. He's a contender, but he's not a title challenger. I think DDP is he's safe now.
George, if somebody told you Khamzat Chimaev is going to go into the next four fights with impeccable cardio, there aren't very many people I would pick over him, honestly. It just comes into that for me.
It does. And you know what? He needs to move his head a little bit. Sometimes he just gets cracked. And when he does, it stifles him a little bit. You know what I mean? It really, really slows down that, along with the cardio weaning a little bit. It just, you can tell it slows him down. And he allows someone else to gain momentum. And that's what Usman did. Because in between rounds, even after the first round, Usman had to catch his breath a little bit. And luckily they grounded him and he was able to do it, you know, so he got back in the fight. But here's how some of the scoring went down. For those of you that are curious, I'll try and explain it slow so that it makes sense. The judges were Derek Cleary, David Letheby, and Vito Paolillo. I've definitely heard of Cleary, and Letheby, yes, not as much. He's not in that circuit of Ron McCarthy, Sal D'Amato, and the rest of the gang, but still I've heard him, so I feel confident with him. The other guy, haven't heard of him. All right, round one, Chimaev 10-8 on all three judges' scorecards. So remember, dominance, duration, and damage. And I think we can all agree, damage wasn't really present, but dominance and duration was. So in the rule books, you should consider it 10-8. Doesn't mean you have to do it, but obviously all three judges did it, and, you know, they went for it. Now, Khamzat was trying to get under the chin. He was also trying to crank his face with just sheer power. I don't know that we got to any point where we were like, he's in trouble, but he was attacking and he was all over him. So like Ghost said, neither one of us have a problem with the 10-8. Here's where it gets tricky. In round two, two judges scored it for Usman, Cleary and Letheby. Vito stayed with Chimaev. So on Cleary's card, he had 19-18 going into round three in favor of Shamayev. Because even though it was 1-1, there's a 10-8 in there. Mm-hmm. Same identical score for Letaby. Vito, however, has it 20-17 going into round three. And then in round three, two judges again scored it for Kamaru Usman. However, it was different from the judges, well, at least one of them was, from the one that scored in round two. And I know that's where it gets a little tricky, but so Cleary's card had 10-8 Shamayev. Letaby had 10-9 Shamayev. Letaby had 10-9 Usman, and Vito had 10-9 Usman. But remember how Vito had already given him the first two rounds? It didn't matter that Usman got that round. He just couldn't win. On Letaby's card, however, his two 10-9s canceled Shamayev's 10-8. So that was the 28-28. But then on Derek Cleary's card,
that was the right call, by the way.
Huh?
I believe that was the right call. The way I think that was. I'm not going to say it was a runaway. The rounds were close, but I feel like that was the right call.
Yeah, I agree. And on Cleary's card, he gave Shamayev 1-3, and he also gave him the 10-8. That's why he had a 29-27. But what my point that I was trying to make was, is if you ended round one and looked to the judges, all three would have given them to Shamayev 10-8. You would have went, okay, Shamayev 10-8. If you would have looked at all the judges after round two, two of the three gave it to Usman. Therefore, if they did the type of scoring where they just two out of three rules, you know, Usman would have got that round. And the same thing would have happened in round three. But you have to look at the scoring on MMA decisions to see what I'm talking about. It didn't matter the way the math worked out. It's just the way it fell on each judge's scorecard that it didn't benefit Usman, because two judges thought Usman won round three. So either way, the best he could hope for was a draw in that situation as well. Media scores. One guy gave Shamayev all three rounds and the 10-8. So that's a 30-26. Three guys gave Shamayev all three rounds, 30-27, which means they just went 10-9. One guy gave Shamayev a 29-26. So that means he gave, let's see here, Shamayev. How did he get to that score? Let me look at this. I'm curious. Jeez, I'm not sure what he did. Honestly, but it's a tricky score. It's like there might have been a 10-7 in there, which I don't know about that one. Okay. Oh, my God. As I'm looking at this goes, the same guy's name is Jed Meshew. I think he's from MMA Fighting. I just happened to scroll down, and he shows a picture of Shamayev, Latifi, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, one of the greatest soccer players ever, right?
Uh-huh.
And one of the comments says, "Love Latifi looking pleasantly surprised that he's allowed to be in the photo." Because obviously Zlatan's great, and so Shamayev, and Latifi's, you know, respect. He's a good fighter, but no, I don't think he would consider him a great, you know. But all three guys are from Sweden, I guess. So
he was there, right, at the fights.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, what did he say? Something. So for those of you who don't know who that is, if you watch Ted Lasso, there's a character called Zala. It's basically based off of this guy. And he was a great soccer player, but he had this ability to kind of talk shit without you even realizing he's doing it. And he just had a really funny quote about how he's basically saying, "I was so happy to see Messi join MLS because now they can have football again." And basically what he was trying to say was, ever since I left, mm-hmm. they were just left with garbage. Now they can have greatness again. So he's really, really funny. And he loves martial arts.
Yeah, he sure does. That quote, though, man, like Latifi pleasantly surprised. Oh, you guys want me to join the picture? Okay. Anyway, there was a bunch of 29-27s, which is what two judges came up with. There was a lot of there was five 29-28s. So very slanted in favor of Shamayev. There was four draws, 28-28. And there was four Usmans, 29-28, meaning they gave Usman two of the three rounds, and none of them thought that the first one for Shamayev was a 10-8. And that includes two guys who I respect when it comes to talking about scoring, and that's Scott Fontana and Sean Sheehan. Scott Fontana is from the New York Post. He's pretty passionate about MMA judging, and he's been to one of those ABC, what do you call it, conferences, you know, where they like they were in Vegas recently, where Goz and myself and Dan Tom went. Last year, I believe they were in Buffalo. So he's been to one of those. He's put in the time to learn the scoring, and he's pretty knowledgeable. And then the other one is Sean Sheehan, who, again, same thing. He can quote the book. So both of those guys went actually 29-28 Usman. That means two rounds to Usman, one for Chimaev, and no 10-8 for Chimaev. So like Goz and I said, I think we're open to no 10-8. Remember, damage is the key of the three D's, dominance, duration, and damage. You get damage is one of the two. Usually that 10-8 is no problem. They'll stroke the pen. But if it's not that one, then it's just, well, he had duration, he had dominance. But, I mean, you know, he did. So, anyway, maybe we spent enough time on it as it is. Dana White said Usman's open to do whatever he wants. He earned it. I agree. I would say he's going to watch Leon versus Colby. Colby wins. Now the champion is a guy who Usman's beaten twice. If Colby loses and Leon wins, then I'm sorry, he's outside looking in at the welterweight division. No one's interested in the third fight, but maybe he can put himself in that mix with other middleweights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation. You know, when you hear Usman talk about his career and where he's at, like he was so dejected, but honestly, to me, he came out almost like a winner that night. And you never know. You know, Colby's a tough fighter. Just because he's been gone for a while, I think people have forgotten. Leon Edwards has improved a lot, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to take Colby Covington at that. I believe he's going to win that fight. And that would change things around for Kamaru Usman a little bit. And then, you know, on the flip side, man, with Khamzat, I think he'd just give him Costa. And we call it a day. We move on.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And keep working on that cardio, because you're right. If he can't finish you in that first round or maybe the early part of the second, I'm not saying he can't win, because he proved it against Burns. He showed some toughness and some heart there. But there is a decline in the Khamzat Chimaev after round one that you see in round two and round three, and imagine round four and five. Fuck, man, those are some tough, tough rounds. He's very hittable, and he's, like I say, he's just not as explosive. Anyway, all right, the third fight, holy cow, Magomed Ankalaev against Johnny Walker. So disappointing to see this fight end in a no contest after Ankalaev delivered an illegal knee. So Johnny Walker was clearly, you know, with a knee on the ground, and he got kneed by Ankalaev. And so then it basically comes down to, can Walker go? If not, then, you know, is it intentional or not? It can be intentional, and the referee can still rule that it's a no contest. It's up to him. Or he can disqualify a fighter, which I think a lot of us thought. And here's why. Because it couldn't have been more clear that, A, Walker was a grounded opponent. It wasn't this finger thing or the fist or the, you know, or the palm or nothing like that. There was a clear knee down. And two, there's no doubt that Ankalaev was aiming for his head. That's as intentional as it gets. You know what I mean? So that's only half the equation, folks. The other half is Walker seemed to, out of anyone that needed to clear the cobwebs, he seemed to clear them pretty quick. But a doctor comes in, apparently asked him a series of questions. He didn't like what Walker had to say. And even though Walker looked cognizant, there was no wobbly, shaky legs. There was no, like, cut to deal with or anything like that. He just waves the fight off. And so, you know, some stuff had happened early on where we just thought, holy cow, man, we're getting robbed of a pretty damn good fight here.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I don't blame the doctor. You know, he asked questions that were not answered correctly in the right way. But at the same time, I think we have to realize that there's a few more factors involved in this equation. It's language barrier, right? Maybe the questions just need to be a little bit more direct, or everything needs to be slowed down a little bit. But Johnny Walker physically looked like a guy that could continue fighting. And he also, as soon as the fight got waved off, like, you could tell he knew what that meant, what was going on. Like, he wasn't just standing there drooling. But I also understand where a doctor's coming from. If you ask these direct questions and don't get the answer you're looking for, he's looking out for the fighters, right? So I get both sides. I just, rather than point a finger at either side, I think the best thing to do is, what do we do going forward so that this never happens again? I can't remember what the scenario was, but this, maybe last month or the month before, something similar happened to that, where we were kind of saying the same thing, like, look, it happened, but how do we avoid this going forward? I can't remember what the situation was, but that's the way I feel with this. Like, there's got to be a standard question that the doctor is going to ask that no matter what, you have to have some kind of answer for.
Well, you might be a little more generous than I am, because language barrier, the doctor needs to speak English. And I think Walker kind of speaks pretty damn good English. Now, for the doctor to expect for Walker to be clear cut with these questions, the doctor has to first have this sense of, that guy's all right, but I guess I'm going to go through my questions. But when he's telling him, where are you at? And he says, the desert, like Dana White said, well, he's not wrong. He just seemed inexperienced. I think you nailed it and said a better question would have been, who's your opponent? I mean, I think that's something you would clearly know. Mm-hmm. And but I just know there's times where fighters have won fights, and at the end, DC will go, or Rogan or whoever, hey, let's go over this in the first round. The fighter will go, man, I don't even remember that. You know, so we're praising this fighter for this beautiful knockout or this beautiful comeback, and yet they're fucked up, but it's no big deal because they won. And in this situation, you know, we're feeling like, well, the doctor did the right thing. I mean, look, I just feel like after play number one or two, if you're on the offensive line or whatever and you're getting your bell rung, you might not remember what state you're in. You might go, oh, those are the Jaguars, you know, but where's Jacksonville again? Florida, you know, whatever. Because, and you know, I don't know. It just seemed like fucking romper room, man, like with this whole doc. Like, the doctor was really a moron. I know he's trying to do his job, but to get to the fact that if this guy has a concussion, I think he could have asked a lot more. He looked good to me. He looked like he could fight to me. And let's not forget, we're still forgetting the other side of the equation, which was, let's just say he clears him. Johnny Walker's got a fight. I'm not sure if the ref would have taken a point away or what, but he's definitely, the other guy's definitely not getting disqualified. But yet Johnny Walker's got a fight, and now he's probably concussed, like we've just been able to assess, right? Mm-hmm. So much of that sequence just irks me, man.
And what happens with their pay?
Huh?
And what happens with their pay going forward? Man, I wish
neither guy gets a win bonus, that's for sure.
I wish I remember what this was. You remember a couple months ago, something like the similar, and we were asking the same question, what happens with their pay?
I can probably find it, because I have a few windows open which tell me all the events that have happened with the UFC in the last few months.
But does it sound familiar to you?
A little bit.
But anyway, yeah, that's there's just so many question marks here. I like, who is your opponent? Somebody in the chat room during our watch along, thank you to everybody that joined for that, had kind of mentioned as well, like, what if you just did true or false? No, I'm holding up four fingers. True or false?
Yeah, I think we can all pretty much count, even if we're concussed. I think we can all pretty much count, or you definitely would know your opponent after having trained to fight them for a few months. Mm-hmm. What country are we in? I mean, look, by technicality, they were in Abu Dhabi. That's a city. It's not technically the country. I just wonder if that guy would have played the semantics card and said, nope, we're in Abu Dhabi. I asked what country we're in, and we're in the United Arab Emirates. And
You know, the other day, for a brief second, I forgot my university, what the name was. Like, it took me maybe 4 seconds, but I actually kind of blanked for a second. It was either that or the year I graduated or something like that. I mean, it can happen to people, especially, I can imagine, in the middle of a fight. So maybe the question just has to be more direct.
Yeah. The only other thing, I mean, the bottom line is the guy could go. You know, the guy could go, and hopefully they would have taken a point away, maybe even two. I mean, that's as blatant as it gets. And look, as I say this, I know that when I walked into Extreme Couture the next time I'm there, there's a good chance that guy might be there. Hey, we're just doing our job. That's as clear-cut as it is. I'll guarantee you this. If Magomed Ankalaev was at home watching and the same thing happened to his teammate, he'd be saying the same thing. So all these fighters that like to, you know, run their mouths or whatever, come on, stop it. I've seen you guys active on social media. You're just as passionate when you're on the other side of the table and it's against one of your teammates or whatever. So don't trip when the media says it the way it is. That was a clear foul. It probably should have been a disqualification. And Walker at least gets his money. He gets his win. And look, I'm not saying put Walker in the title fight or nothing like that. And I'm not saying penalize Ankalaev in terms of, like, you know, throwing him down the ladder there of the rankings. You know, obviously he's still one of the top guys, but, you know, just none of this happens if he doesn't throw that knee.
Yeah, true.
When you said
let's talk about the third fight of the night, I thought you were referring to Costa and the Fan.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can ever, you know, you hear about fans being banned from stadiums in soccer games or NFL, and frankly there is a way here in Peru where I see how that can work. And the way it is right now, goes, I don't know if I talked about this, but that soccer game I went last week, they have some pretty strict rules on some of these games, starting with you can't even wear a belt. If you wear a belt, they'll take it away from you. Now, that's mostly the rivalry games, like Man City and Man United, or Boca Juniors versus River Plate or something like that, right? But this happened to be a qualifier. It was still madness, but there wasn't this hostile rivalry, you know, where safety was at the utmost. I think the Argentine fans that traveled were respectful and everything was good. But what they do is when you show up, you got to show your ticket, and your ticket has to show your what's called here DNI, so basically your driver's license or something, or passport. And so when you show your ticket, you got to have whatever it is you put down, whether it's the driver's license or the passport, and that's got to match. So when you hear of someone's been banned forever in the United States, we just laugh, because basically when they check your ticket, they just check the phone or you hand them a ticket and then you get in. So if you can change your appearance, you know, with a hoodie or glasses or beards or bald, you know, you shave your head bald, they ain't going to stop you. But that Fan, come on, man. You can't come out of the stands and attack a fighter. And I don't know what Costa was doing before that, but either way, that's a pretty serious assault on a UFC. Huh?
Probably pouring gasoline, if we know Paulo Costa.
Could have been, but all I saw was one guy trying to attack Paulo Costa, and you just can't come out of the audience and attack athletes like that. Hopefully that Fan gets banned, you know, for life or whatever, because that could have turned very ugly. Another guy was trying to get in there, and luckily the UFC had great security. So did that stadium in Abu Dhabi, and it didn't get worse. But yeah, he missed, but it looked like Costa landed a decent right hand. He kept saying left, but to me, I saw a right hand, and then said he landed it on the forehead, but it didn't look that powerful either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked like it hit him right in the forehead, but it didn't seem like it had that much pepper on it.
Mm-hmm. And so the night started with Ikram Aliskarov defeating Warley Alves. Alves just looked like he got thrown like chum to a shark. At one point, this guy was thought of a prospect, a big prospect in the welterweight division, I believe, and now he's fighting at middleweight. But I think he was just a body, and he got blasted with a flying knee and some punches. And then Said Nurmagomedov defeated Muin Gafarov to start the night, guillotine choke. So in the main card, four fights ended in the first round. One was the no contest, and then you had Makachev, Aliskarov, and Nurmagomedov all you know, making quick work of the main card.
I can't believe that's one of the quickest cards that I think I've ever been involved in. You know, we did our watch along and that just completely flew by. And I don't know what I would have thought of the night if Kamaru Usman's fight didn't go the distance, if it wasn't that entertaining. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess that's what you want, right? Finishes.
Yeah.
But boy, when you get a lot of them, that really makes a difference.
Yeah. Here's some other fights that took place. Muhammad Mokaev defeated Tim Elliott. Submission, triangle choke. Elliott's always game. His fights never suck, win or lose. I enjoy watching the guy fight. Mokaev, you know, he looks strong, man. He looks strong everywhere. And he's trying to become the sub or the alternate for the Royval and Pantoja matchup at UFC 296. I don't know if you'll get it. I don't know if they already have that position filled. But, hey, might as well throw it out there. Trevor Peak defeated Muhammad Yahya. Muhammad Yahya, by the way, was the first fighter from the United Emirates to represent the United Arab Emirates. So it would have been a great story, but he came up short. Javid Basharat and Victor Henry. Okay, another situation where it was ruled a no contest because Basharat kicked Henry in the nuts. Henry went all 5 minutes, could not continue. Basharat's been vocal on social media, including Josh Barnett, who's Victor Henry's coach, you know, including him in some tweets just saying, "Nah, man, I'm not buying it. This guy faked his way out." Josh Barnett said, "Nah, this guy went to the hospital. He's injured. You're welcome to take a look at his privates if you want." But, I mean, look, dude, the first time Basharat got him, all right, you know, maybe we'll give you a pass on this one. But that second one couldn't have been more clean. The round had just started and he just went boom right up the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was right. It literally was right up the middle. It's an unfortunate situation with so much on the line. You know, it sucks that fights end that way.
If these guys had normal clothes on, right, and they replicated that same kick just in jeans in a non-combat, you know, arena, right? I would have thought this was like some sort of a dare or one of the Jackass movies or something like that, because Henry didn't even move. He was just standing there and the other guy went right up the middle, dude. Like, I mean, I don't know why Basharat's like acting like, come on, man. Like, you know, like he's tripping. I mean, fuck, you fucked him up. That's, you know, so- of course we've seen a lot of guys come back from those, but you know, I was telling my nephews here that I was watching the fights with. I'm like, yeah, you know, in high school, we used to mess around, play that smack the ball game or whatever, you know, whether it was a towel or whatever. And between that and sports, I've gotten hit in the nuts plenty of times, right? But I remember one time I told you my buddy Damon Dunn, he just kind of went and I kind of like looked like what do you call it? The, you know, the bullfighters, you know how they do that move when they just kind of like throw their hips back? And mm-hmm. He grazed one of my nuts. And that was the worst one ever. A grazer was one of the worst ones ever. So all bets are off when it comes to the nuts. I mean, yeah, I can't tell another man he's faking it. Not a fighter who's 23-6. All of a sudden he's turning into a pussy. Give me a break.
I know what you mean by the grazer, but to me, still kickball. Have you ever been hit with one of those type of balls? God.
Yeah, man. Any of those are pretty brutal. So
a towel too. A towel was really bad. Remember when they flick a towel at you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cedric Dumas defeated Abu Azatar. Mike Breeden defeated Anshul Jubilee, by the way, from India, making his debut. And I'm not sure if he's the first fighter Indian born, or they were kind of, I know there's been a few other fighters that I've seen representing India, But, you know, he was getting some love. And Muhammad Naimov defeated Nathaniel Wood. That was a great fight, by the way.
Yeah.
Wood just kind of came on too late. He lost those first two rounds, and he couldn't pull it out. Victoria Dudakova defeated Jinju Fry, and then you admitted to the whole world that she had staff on her backside or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Shara Magomedov defeated Bruno Silva. The bonuses, by the way, went to 50K Makasha, 50K Alice Karov, 50K Nurmagomedov, 50K to Mokayev. All right, cool. But I guess Breeden's KO, TKO, right hook, you know, like why was there five last week but only four this week? This was a pay-per-view, for crying out loud. I'll leave it at that, I guess. I don't know. I mean, come on, man. We're all – this is a proper $13 billion company. Cut the fuck another check out, and just – if you've done it before, do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say as far as UFC 294 goes. Obviously, I think Gaethje versus Makhachev makes sense with enough notice. That'll be a great defense for Makhachev against a proper 185er, you know, BMF belt. Hopefully, Gaethje can cash in some pay-per-view points off that BMF belt, you know, champ versus champ. I don't know if he can or he can't. And as far as Volkanovski, he said, stitch up my face and I'll go in January against Topuria. And I applaud him.
I don't like it.
No?
Too soon. Give it some time.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Definitely, you're not wrong. I know. I thought Fajedo was crazy when he got starched by Izzy. And then he, you know, came back and looked pretty damn good in his last fight. But, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Concussions are a serious thing.
Just because you're dancing with wolves over there at 155 does not mean that there isn't a monster at 145 waiting for you. Ilya Topuria has shown everybody that he's the real deal. And you got to take him seriously. You got to let your brain rest a little bit and get that hunger back and get back in there when it makes the most sense. But rushing things is just not a good way to come back.
Yeah, no doubt. Strickland, by the way, has already chimed in as well. Shamayev doesn't deserve. He says doesn't fucking deserve title shot. Costa did an interview with Mike Bond. It's on MMA Junkie if you want to check it out. He was kind of trashing Shamayev's win. But it looks like he's open to running it with Shamayev, and I think there's some heat there. Let's do it. I don't want to see Shamayev take another year off. And then Costa, as soon as he's ready to go, come on, you know, let's get your career on track, Costa. I mean, when you're in shape, you're a damn good fighter, that's for sure. But between some dud fights, injuries, layoffs, I don't know, you know, like he hasn't caught any traction, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dana White did chime in on Michael Venom Page. He says there's mutual interest. Well, fucking sign him. You know, this can't be the most complicated contract ever signed. He's no longer with Bellator. Let's go. This guy's 37 or something like that. He's an exciting welterweight. Let's go. Throw him against one of your top welterweights. And let's get that show on the road. The only other thing I wanted to say, I saw something here, and it was, oh yeah, let's continue reminding fighters, the 30 greatest UFC fighters of all time. We're on number 2. Valentina Shevchenko got released. You'll see one every day, or at least you have for the last 9 days. Still got 21 more to go. That's been fun. A lot of discussion. Get in the discussion. Tell us if you agree with it or not. There was one other. Oh, Dylan Danis. Yes. Hopefully this is the last time we talk about this guy, unless he's in an MMA fight. He's a free agent. I guess Bellator released him, and he says, I want in the UFC. Granted, he does move some needles. I'm not convinced he's a top MMA fighter, but the UFC is wacky. You know, they have a wacky department where they do wacky things if someone's popping. So what do you say, Gills? I mean, I'll end it with that. What, this is my final question to you. Do you want Dylan Danis in the UFC? You want more of this shit?
Hell no. And it's not even that I don't think – at least MMA is more where he belongs. You know, the striking is just not there, but there is a submission aspect to mixed martial arts, and you never know. You give him the right opponents, maybe he can develop something. But he just doesn't seem like he can make it to fights. And there's no worse feeling than when a fight falls off, especially when it falls off for stupid shit.
Yeah. I would be wrong. Well, let me say this. I think the UFC might take a good look at him and sign him, but I guess I'm... And I'm not saying Dylan Danis isn't entertaining. He's pretty fucking amazing at the way he tore Logan Paul apart. I don't know if that young lady needed to be a part of that, but whatever. I mean, that guy was ruthless with his lady. And I guess he might get sued now or whatever. But part of me wants to see Dylan Danis maybe get smashed. But I'll be the first to congratulate him. If you throw him in there against a tough guy and he submits him, shit, I'll say, hey, good for you. You know what I mean? You belong. So we'll see. This week, no UFC. There is an Invicta out in Boston, Massachusetts, where a lot of the young ladies, some of the top ladies, you know, that get down in the world have come through Invicta. They're probably not what they once were. I don't know what their future is or whatever, but a lot of fighters have come through Invicta, but their cards just haven't been as stacked as before. But that's basically the only major show happening until next week when we get Almeida versus Lewis. Mm-hmm. So anyway, count on us with Spinning Backlick Mondays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's the time going forward. I can point you to all the different socials that we have. You can find them on our front page, how to get to Facebook, Twitter, or X now. Instagram, YouTube, we got a lot of great ways for you to get to your content for everything we offer here at MMA Junkie. And again, kind of share that tweet or retweet and share that top 30, man. We're really, really proud of that. And it's generating a lot of buzz, a lot of talk. So hopefully you guys can help us out with that. So we're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll see you all on Thursday show. Go out and be a champion. Talk soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.